Welcome to the Effective Engineering Manager podcast.
Hey, Slava, it's good to be here today. Today's your time. What would you like to talk about?
Today, I'd like to talk about a very effective approach to getting things done that I call Think, Plan, Execute.
Interesting. So what is Think, Plan, Execute, and why is it so effective?
Yes, Think, Plan, Execute is a three-step process with each step producing results. The think step generates understanding of what should be done. The plan step creates a step-by-step plan to deliver the result. And the execute step delivers the result through the execution of the plan.
Well, so this sounds like a very approachable way to address a process that many of us could use. How did you come up with it?
One of the things that I found challenging earlier in my career as an engineer and as a manager was having to deliver projects in a short time and with quality without much of a wiggle room for delivery dates. And it wasn't unique to me. I've seen this challenge throughout the industry, from junior to senior software engineers, from engineering managers to directors into the executive suite. And the stuff had to be done fast with millions of dollars at stake. But outcomes were often the opposite. More and more time was spent and less results were produced. And people were drowning in work, thrashing, not making progress, and having more and more stuff to do and getting less and less time for it and just drowning even more. And at some point, I started asking myself, what's going on and how can I solve this challenge? It has become even more acute when I started my first company, something like around 2005, when we built the first distributed CI/CD system called Parabuild. And our customers loved our product, were willing to pay for it, and they wanted us to deliver more and good features and faster. And we were coding for 12 hours and sleeping for six. And that was hard, and projects were getting late, bugs were creeping up, and sometimes that made our customers unhappy. So I asked myself, what stops us from taking on vague, loosely defined problems or feature requests with lots of unknown edge cases and delivering working software on time with good quality without overworking? The answer was that we were working instead of delivering results, right? And we were not delivering results as fast as we needed because our process for the path from an idea to the product didn't have good structure, right? Just like the process of many companies like ours at that time. So I started doing research and I found two great books. One was Execution by Larry Bossidy, and another one was The Effective Executive by Peter Drucker. And these books gave me three important things: the importance of getting the right stuff done, the focus on the result, and that getting from an idea to the product required breaking down the process into digestible stages, and each stage would be feeding to the next until the work is done. I think the challenge was that effective executive and the execution had maybe something like 600 pages of really good foundational stuff, and I needed a more concise approach to that I could use myself and be able to install with my team easily. So that's how the think, plan, execute approach was born, and I've been doing it for quite some time now, maybe a good 15 years, and I do it myself, and I coach and train my direct reports and my teams.
Yeah, that's fantastic, and I really, really like the concept of looking to deliver results instead of just working or being a feature factory, right? Because certainly that delivering results is very much tied to, you know, having a cohesive team and people that are on board and understanding exactly what you're doing. So it sounds like great stuff. So tell us a little bit more about the main parts of Think, Plan, Execute.
Yes, think, plan, execute is a three-step process. And the think part is, the think step is understanding and analyzing the problem. And it generates tangible results that usually include use cases, sketches, requirements, and designs. And these feed into the plan step. And the plan step is building the plan to deliver the solution to the problem. It generates a list of step-by-step action items or tasks with estimates. And you and I, we just shared our guidance on how to plan and estimate work effectively in the estimation podcast. And the result of the plan step is an actionable plan in the issue tracking system. And the execute step is executing the plan. And the output of this step is completed tasks and subsequently, in the end, working software. The execute step itself consists of two parts, monitor and control. And engineering managers track the progress of feature development through daily stand-up meetings. The progress of projects and cross-functional programs is better tracked through weekly staff or program meetings, because things change less frequently. And usually there's no need for intervention from the engineering manager if the work is on track or to hit target dates. And the control step comes into picture when a project becomes a risk of being late. Then the manager must intervene by understanding the causes of the delay and putting the project back on track by addressing the causes while communicating the changes in the status up. So, and this approach is very effective and it works because in essence, it is what's known as the divide and conquer approach. The key here is that we must divide each task we take on into three steps. And each of those steps must produce definitive, tangible results that feed into the next step and to the final result.
Well, that's very excellent explanation. And I think when you talk about thinking, starting the whole process and just understanding and analyzing the problem is so often undervalued. People think they know this, they know what they have to do, and they often get two or three steps down the road before they realize, you know, man, I wish I had done the think part of the process. So this is great. Can you help dig a little bit deeper, maybe give us some examples that we could use as models?
Sure. So let's say we must add a feature to a product. And the think step is about understanding what needs to be built. And one of the best ways to understand what needs to be built is to interview our future customers to gather requirements. And this can be an actual customer or a product owner or a product manager. And sometimes this can be our chain of command. And the output of this thinking step is a record of requirements. I'm saying record because it has to be a tangible result that can be shared and reviewed with, by the team. And if it's even if it's a team of one, and having tangible requirements enables other teams to work on planning and implementation. And as you can see at the end of the think step, we are closer to the final result because we know what we are building. And when I work alone on something small, I still write down in my engineering workbook a list of things that I need to do. And this is a very quick and dirty way of tracking requirements. And it's good only for small one-off tasks. And in a team, in the working team environments, requirements must be documented in a knowledge sharing system such as Wiki. And having shareable requirements enables teams to work on planning and implementation in parallel. And yeah, that's about the thinking part. And a good example of could be adding a button to a form, right? And we'll talk about it a bit, just a bit later. And the next step and the plan step is the plan step, and planning is taking what needs to be done and breaking it into action items or tasks, which we as engineers or as managers or program managers or even executives have to deliver to arrive to the final result. And planning should be done top down, from high level work items to detailed tasks for each high level work item. And for example, if let's say there is a feature request to add a button to a form on the UX, right? And this will include the following tasks: build the visual design for the button and update the form, update backend APIs to support new parameters, add a field or fields to the database, write unit tests, write integration tests, review the code with the team, and then implement and run the demo of the result. So it's basically it's a minimal 7-step plan to add a button to a form. Now, each of these tasks can be estimated, and the final timeline for the feature implementation can be produced. And after that, the development can be launched. So the output of the plan step is a plan, and the plan is a set of tasks that need to be completed. So, and just going back to our previous podcast on estimates, the lowest level tasks that are going to be executed by software engineers that are going to produce working code ideally should be estimated as user stories and estimated in story points. And once the low level tasks are estimated, the estimates roll up to the top level work items, and those enable us to build an executable schedule with possibly dates. So top level work items deal in estimated start and stop dates. As you can see, in the end of the plan step, we are even closer to the final result because now we have a plan how to get there.
This sounds good. And I think what's really great about this is that the planning part, I think, makes approaching a solving a problem a lot less intimidating, especially for untrained folks, junior engineers, or even someone who hasn't done something that might be as challenging as the task at hand seems. And forcing yourself back into a process that says, okay, I've thought about it. Now I can focus on just doing the plan, estimating, as you talked about, on these low level tasks that I can kind of have a little bit more control over. You know, that'll help me get going. What about planning for larger scale programs? Can you still use the same methodology here?
Yes, absolutely. And this approach to planning through work decomposition scales to large programs just as well. For example, previously I applied think, plan, execute to managing complex cross-functional and cross-company programs that run for multiple months. And the first thing I've done as a program manager was to sit with the team of functional delivery managers and ask, here's what needs to be done. How can we break this large body of work into smaller, connected, and digestible pieces? And that's how we produce high-level plans that could be taken to individual teams for further refinement. And I would like to emphasize that when it comes to large-scale programs, it's important to involve the functional delivery managers from the beginning. And the reason is that it's unlikely that a single individual, however smart they are, will be able to build a quality cross-functional plan on their own because of the complexity of the work. So now that we have a plan, it's time to execute. And the job of the engineering manager is to launch the development and then monitor the progress of the project and control the schedule. And monitoring means that engineering managers have to watch how the team tracks against the plan. And my approach, and I recommend it, is that if the team is doing well, I don't intervene at all. Sometimes things can deviate from the schedule, and even if it's not deadly, and if the team has a clear path back to the normal schedule, I'm completely tolerant of the deviations plus minus a few days. And the monitoring part may seem to be a bit passive, but in fact, the engineering manager has to be tightly involved because he has to watch through regular check-ins with the team, such as regular staff meetings, and do a full review of the status of the of all projects in flight. And status meetings also have to produce project status reports in some shareable form that can be communicated up. So now engineering managers have to pay attention to things going off track. And the control part of the execution step is responding to the situations when things do go off track and a particular project flips from green or on track to yellow or at risk. So the engineering managers have to ask these questions. What happened? Why did it happen? What can we do to put it back into green? And engineering managers have to work with the team, help them prioritize, maybe take certain things off their plate so that they can focus on what's most important, or help them with the connections and dependencies across teams, and in the end to get the project back on track. So the output of the execution step is the desired result. And that's how I suggest approaching getting things done. Any thoughts, any questions?
I certainly think, like as you mentioned there on the execute side, really separating, you know, the monitor from control is really critical. I think a lot of times managers can get tied up in both, right? So like you said, you know, if it's on track, you're in a monitoring mode. If you don't have to micromanage, you don't have to over manage. And also knowing when to start controlling is important, even if you are in a monitoring mode. So I think you broke that down very well. And on the execute side itself, if your team is working through, you know, actual execution of the project, getting things done, how do you ensure they stay focused? In other words, how are you ensuring that they're staying on course to complete the task at hand and not just spinning in circles, right? How do you, what are some ways to help keep the team focused?
It's a good question. And I believe that it really depends on what is the level the engineering manager operates on. Frontline engineering managers are managing the people who are doing the actual work, such as coders or quality engineers. And if they're practicing iterative development like Scrum, they will know if things are moving forward based on the input from the daily stand-up meetings. And if they see that an engineer continues to report, worked on that thing, will be working on the same thing, and it's already outside of the estimated story points, that might be a signal that something is not right and they need to help those engineers. Now, if the engineering manager is at the level when they're managing managers, there are two things they need to do. First, they need to set up weekly staff meetings and use a meaningful part of those with their direct reports to report on the statuses of the projects in flight, and so that you can collect those updates and send updates up. And the second one, which is directly connected with the first, is to build a trust with the team through weekly one-on-ones. And this allows us as managers to trust our teams that the project status updates we are receiving are true, and especially when things go off track. The team must know that when things go off track, you will be there for them. You will be there for them. You will be there to help. And you won't get mad. And we gain this trust by building the relationships with our directs consistently through regular, well-structured one-on-ones. And the fundamental outcome of this relationship building exercise is that the team has to know that you as a manager fully accept that there are imperfect human beings just like you are, and that you will treat their mistakes as opportunities to improve and not to punish, because everyone and everything fails. So, and if the team doesn't trust you, or if the team believes that you are punitive and will not tolerate deviation from perfection, you will not be able to receive quality feedback on project statuses. And then we may end up in situations when things are very broken for a long time and managers have no idea because the team does not want to talk about it, right? They would rather avoid discussing it or try to sweep it under the rug and not tell. So a good people manager will build such trust, and their life as a manager is going to be less hectic, and they will be able to do more when it comes to driving complex projects and programs, because they can ask, hey, are we good? And if the team says, well, you know, things just went sideways, then they can sit down with the team and say, hey, okay, let's put our heads together. Let's figure out as a team, how can we put things back on track?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that answers it very well. And those are some excellent points that you mentioned. Certainly, getting the team to trust you as a manager so they know you're not punitive, that there is, you know, the environment is safe to fail when you do, and learning from it. And so I think those are great points, and I agree with all of that for sure. Slava, this was great. This is really an informative topic. I think something that takes a very sometimes overwhelming topic for many managers and people in general and makes it very approachable. Could you share with our listeners a checklist for getting things done using Think, Plan, Execute?
Yes, the Think, Plan, Execute approach to getting things done consists of three steps. Think, understand what you're trying to build and document in a shareable format such as Wiki. Second, plan, decompose what you're trying to do into a set of step-by-step actions, estimate and document it as a plan in an issue tracking system. And third, execute. Launch the work, monitor progress against the schedule, and course correct if the project goes off track, and land the project.
Well, thank you, Slava. Excellent checklist. This was great stuff.
Thank you, Adam. More good stuff is coming. And I encourage our listeners to reach out to us with feedback or suggestions on new topics. Our email is contact@effectiveem.com. And our home on the internet is effectiveem.com.